for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
And it says in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and every affliction. Then he saw the crowds. He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" This is an incredible passage of scripture. We see that Jesus is speaking to his disciples. In the beginning of chapter 10, we see that he names his disciples and the 12 that are going to work with him and walk with him. The 12 that were going to be do life with Jesus for 3.5 years as he has his 3.5 year ministry between his baptism and his death upon the cross of Calvary and his resurrection. We worship a Savior today who is alive and who is alive forevermore. He is not dead. We don't worship a God of wood. We don't worship a God of stone. We don't worship a God of metal. We worship a God today who is alive and who is alive forevermore. He is real. He is a real God. A real God who has stepped into time and stepped into space. And this real God, the Lord Jesus Christ, we've already been reminded this morning that he is Emmanuel, God with us. He is Jesus, the one who has come to save us from our sins. He hasn't just come to save you from your sins. He has come to save the whole world from their sins. There are 7.3 billion people in the world today. And every one of those 7.3 billion people, Jesus loves exactly the same. Not one of those people are loved any more. Not one of those people are loved any less. Jesus loves us all the same. Every single one of us is loved by God. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter where we've come from. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter the color of our skin. It doesn't matter what language we speak. It doesn't matter what religion we've been brought up in. Jesus loves everyone. John 3:16, the most famous verse in all the Bible, says, "For God so loved the world." And we're part of that world. But so is all the other 7.3 billion people on the face of the earth. Jesus loves them as much as he loves you. God loves them as much as he loves you. Sometimes we can struggle with that because there are certain people and people groups that we struggle with, even as Christians. But God loves them anyway. God doesn't need your permission or my permission to love the difficult people that we struggle with. He loves them anyway. And he allowed his son to die in their place upon the cross of Calvary. Jesus here is talking to his disciples. His disciples were anything but perfect. They were a bunch of disheveled, self-centered, dysfunctional group of people. They were always doing the wrong things at the wrong time, saying the wrong things at the wrong time, opening up their mouths. There was great competition between them all. Remember on one occasion where two of the disciples got their mother to go to Jesus and ask Jesus if one of them could sit as his right hand and the other one could sit in his left hand. What was that? They're trying to put themselves above the other 10 disciples. These were disciples that were just a mess at times, but yet they've been called by God. They've been chosen by God. They've been called out by God, all from different backgrounds. They didn't get on all the time. They were arguing, they were fighting, they were competing. It was a dysfunctional team that Jesus had. And yet, they were called by him, chosen by him, loved by him. And he poured himself into these 12 men. Poured himself into them, taught them, instructed them, helped them, because he loved them. We see that they began to follow Jesus. He gave them direction. He gave them instruction. We see that they were later empowered by the Holy Spirit to take on an enormous task of worldwide evangelism. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verses 9 and 20, go therefore and make disciples. Jesus was making disciples with a group of men that were dysfunctional. And then Jesus told this dysfunctional group of disciples for them also to make disciples of others. But not just, it says, to make disciples of all nations. You see, in the book of Revelation, we discover that around the throne of God, when the time has come to an end, when it's time for this world to be folded up, when it's time for God to call the bridegroom, the bride to the bridegroom, we discover that around that throne, worshiping God, we have a little glimpse of it in Revelation, that there are people that are blood-bought and blood-washed from every nation, every tongue, every tribe on the face of this earth. Every tribe will be represented. Every 6,500 so odd of that unreached people groups will be represented around the throne of God on that great and that glorious day. Some years ago, my grandmother passed away. And one of my cousins decided it was time just to count the family. That's just aunts, uncles, and cousins. Not beyond that, aunts, uncles, and cousins. My grandmother was the last of her generation. Her husband had died some years before that. So my cousin just decided we would count up. So she came to me and she says, Roy, do you know how many of immediate family that we have? We have over 50. Over 50. Now, I think 50 can constitute a tribe, don't you? How many of you come from big families? Yeah. Your tribe will be there as well. You're representing your tribe. But you want more than just yourself to be there, don't you? You want the rest of the tribe to be there as well. There's going to be tribes, languages, nations before that great and that awesome throne, because it hasn't changed. The Great Commission is the same today as it was when Jesus walked this earth. We see that the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slow fulfilling his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient. Aren't you glad God is patient? Aren't you glad that God is patient with you? Aren't you glad that God is patient with me? Don't say amen to that just yet. But he's patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the heartbeat of God. The heartbeat of God is that no one will go to a Christless eternity in hell, but his heartbeat is that all will repent. Problem. He's left his church to finish his work in reaching this world. The church can have its problems, can have its difficulties, but the church will be his bride, a spotless bride on that great and glorious day. And the commission, the great commission, the plan, the purposes of God has not changed. It is the same today to fulfill his purpose in reaching a lost world. Jim Elliot says he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Sometimes we're holding on to things. Sometimes we hold on to things that in the past were very precious to us. The blessings of the past we hold on to sometimes. But sometimes we hold on to them too tightly. And when we hold on to things too tightly, sometimes we can squeeze the life out of it. God doesn't want us to squeeze the life out of church. He doesn't want us to squeeze the life out of his blessings. He doesn't want us to squeeze the life out of your pastor or your pastor's wife or anything like that there. We have to hold these things lightly. So if God wants to come and take it out of our hands, he can take it without us wrestling with God. And it's when we start wrestling with God over certain things. Now notice what I'm saying, wrestling with God. Sometimes God will come and test us. Sometimes God will come and try us. And sometimes God will come and touch the thing. It might be good. It still might be a very good and a healthy thing. But God will come and touch that to see how tightly we're holding on to it. And if we're holding on to it too tightly, we will wrestle with God. We will struggle with God. We will battle with God. And in those battlings, what actually happens is that we lose some of the perspective that we have on what God really wants to do. And we think that God wants to do this thing that we're holding tightly to when God wants us to be like this here and just let go and let him take it and use it. Just like the little boy who came to Jesus with his packed lunch. The disciples were told by Jesus to feed the multitude. And they didn't, they were squabbling, they were arguing with Jesus, saying, we can't do this. We haven't got enough money to do this. It's going to cost a year's wage to feed this amount of people. And a little boy comes with his lunchbox, a few loaves and a few small fish, and he gave it to Jesus. He let go. He could have kept hold of his lunch. He could have been very selfish about it, holding tightly to it. But he saw that there was a need. He didn't know how his little lunchbox was going to meet the need, but he gave it to Jesus. Jesus took it. He blessed it. He multiplied it. And he fed a crowd of people of 5,000 men alone, never mind women and children besides that. What are we holding on to this morning? He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Just as we move on quickly this morning, Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Look at that last phrase, his harvest. It's the Lord's harvest. It's not our harvest. It's his harvest that he is looking for us to get involved in. He's looking for us to partnership with him in. He's looking for us to get involved in. Because later in this little passage that we read, or earlier in this little passage that we read, we see a number of things. We see that Jesus is going around preaching and teaching. He's sharing the kingdom of God. He's sharing that kingdom wherever he went. But he's also showing the power of that kingdom, because it says that he is healing. He is healing every disease and every affliction. We still believe as a Pentecostal church that Jesus is Savior, but he's still the healer of the broken body. Amen? He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and he's the soon and coming King. And we see here that Jesus shares and he shows. There was action to his words. There was power that came through his words. He touched those that were sick and they were healed. He touched and opened the eyes of those who were blind. He touched, opened the ears of those who were deaf. He touched those who were leprous, and their leprosy was taken away from them. He is the same yesterday, today, forever. He is the same God. The same God in this passage is the same God that we serve today. God hasn't changed. He is still able. And I believe at times he is still willing to heal the sick and to heal every affliction that's brought to him. But we also see something else. Not only does he share and he show, but we also see that he feels and he does. He looks with it out on this multitude of people, and he sees them as sheep without a shepherd. They're helpless. They're harassed. There's hurting people there. There are broken people there. There are messed up people there. There's a mixed match of people that are gathered together, and Jesus looks on them with a different perspective. He sees them as sheep without a shepherd. And he is moved with compassion upon them. Now, when Jesus is moved with compassion, it isn't just he comes down and he puts an arm around someone and says, "Oh, that's okay. I'm so sorry for what you're going through." That word with compassion is moved in his bowels. There's something deep within him that is aching and troubling him. And he's moved with compassion. He just doesn't come around and put an arm around someone or put a hand on their shoulder. He does something about it. When Jesus is moved with compassion, it drives him to action. And he does something about it. And then finally, we see in our passage this morning that he calls his disciples to partnership in with him. There's a great need. The harvest is great. There's a multitude that need to be won. The harvest is ready to become. In another passage in John chapter 4, says the fields are white unto harvest. They're ready for bringing the harvest in. It's ready to be collected. It's great, and that hasn't changed. The harvest field is greater today than it was in Jesus' day, because we have 7.3 billion people on the face of this planet. There are more people to be brought in to the harvest. There are more people to be won for the kingdom. There are more people to be told about Jesus. There are more people that are seeking. They're lost. They're in darkness. Their lives are miserable at this time. But Jesus gives us what we need to do. We need to pray. We need to pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. And this is my heart's desire for Elam Missions, not only for foreign missions that I'm involved in, but also home mission. We all have a mission on our doorstep. We should all have a missionary spirit, that we need to take the gospel to the whosoever. We need to be prepared to make disciples wherever we're at, in our home, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our colleges, wherever we are, there is a need for the gospel to be proclaimed. Jesus hasn't told us that it's only for a certain few people. It's only for the pastor on the pulpit. It's only for those that are specially gifted to do evangelism. No, it's to all those who believe. Do you believe this morning? Some of you aren't sure. There is a message to be taken. We've got to be involved in praying earnestly to the Lord of the harvest, that he will raise up laborers, workers, those that will roll up their sleeve and get involved. And even when other people, it doesn't make sense to other people, we've got to just get on and do, no matter what people think or what people say, because there's a dying world around us. And we're responsible, as Keith Green once said many years ago, we're responsible for this generation of souls. Not for the last generation. And if God tarries, not for the next generation, but for this generation. Got to pray earnestly. We want to raise up a band of prayer warriors, intercessors in Elam Mission that will pray effectively for the work of missions across the world. You might have been touched this morning through what we've been saying about prayer or whatever. There's a form at the back. Please sign into that. We can give you up-to-date information with regards to prayer letters that are coming through. There's a prayer line that comes through once a week that gives you information of things need to pray for. But we need to pray over our missionaries, over the Elam missionary work, a canopy of God's blessing and the canopy of God's presence and protection over God's people. We may not be able to go to the furthest parts of the world. We may not be able to give very much. We may not be able to sow very much financially, whatever it is, but every little helps. But we all can pray. Yeah? We all can pray. I know that God has been speaking. The Holy Spirit has been stirring hearts and stirring minds. It's wonderful to come into the presence of the Lord. It's wonderful to worship him. It's wonderful to lift the name of Jesus up and extol and magnify his wonderful name. But friends, our worship should sensitize us to the voice of God. And as we're sensitive to the voice of God, we will be sensitive to the multitudes around us. And we too will also be moved with compassion. It's one thing coming and singing, but maybe you're fed up with that. Maybe you're empty. Well, maybe it's time to step out and do something. Here at home, or maybe further afield. If you feel God speaking to you about further afield, speak to Graham and Rhonda, speak to myself. I'd love to be able to help you to achieve that. If it's to do something here at home, speak to your pastor. For the fields are, the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you that you want us to be involved in partnership with you, in going to wherever you send us, in the whole area of prayer and intercession, in the whole area of supporting and giving and sowing what we have to see the kingdom of God extend around us. Lord, this morning I pray that right now that your Holy Spirit will seal the word in the hearts of the people. In Jesus' name.
And your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.